So I want to begin with an introduction to the fourth Perek of Shabbos, Perek Bamet Tomnin, which is on Daf Mem Zayin Amid Beis. Now, we're going to divide up the Iser Hatmana, which basically means, you know, wrapping a pot with some material that preserves the heat, into two different categories. The first category is called a Dover Shemosif Heva. That means that you could actually find substances that when you wrap up a hot pot, it would add to the heat. The heat will increase. And this category, which is called Dover HaMosif Hevel, the word Hevel means heat, is prohibited because of something called Shema Yatmin Beremetz. Okay, these are all pretty new terminology for us, but we'll try to understand them and get more familiar with them as we go along. Now, Remetz, which is Reish Mem Tzadi, is otherwise known as Efer Cham, hot ashes, Hama'urav Bigecholim, that are mixed with charcoal. And what we're talking about now is Hatmana Beremetz. Now, keep in mind, when he's not violating Hatmana Beremetz, that would be absolute bishul if you placed something into hot embers, hot coals, but we're afraid of something that looks like it and could lead to it. And he writes the following: Sheyira li'achar chashecha shakedir lo eschama kol tzarka. If, let's say, he is desperately trying to heat up his pot and it's not getting hot enough, although he wrapped it up in something that will hopefully increase the heat, but he sees that, lo and behold, it's not working out the way he had hoped it to be. So what we're afraid of is he might do something that's very similar to wrapping something up in a material that will add to the heat, and in this case, Sheviyat Min Beremetz. He will actually take the food and he will put it inside the coals. So again, he is surrounding his pot with something that's going to increase the heat, and he's not putting it inside that substance, but we're afraid that in event that he's not successful and he realizes that he's not increasing the heat, he may then go ahead and actually put it into a similar kind of a substance, of a material that's burning. And that would be Mavir Eish B'Shabbos. Now, this all has to do with a concept which is very central to the previous perek, which is called Kira, and that's Shemi Yechate B'Gecholim. Whenever we have coals, and they're hot coals, we're afraid that he might come to do chitui. Chitui means to poke the fires, poke the coals, and then the fire goes up. And that's a violation of Meleches Havara. However, we have another, shall we say, alternative method of Havara in the case of Gecholim, when we submerge something inside the coals. And then by moving around the coals, that causes the fire to go up. So the classic case or method of havara of getting the fire up in the case of coals is called chitui. Chitui means when you actually stir. You know, you take a stick. They had a special utensil for this, and they would stir the coals, and then the fire would go up. But here we're talking in this parak about an alternative method in which he pushes something into the coals because he realizes that the food is not heating up as quickly as he needs it to heat up, and that itself is another form of chitui b'gecholim, which means that as a result of sort of the shake-up, when you submerge some pot or some food into the gecholim, is going to cause the coals, I guess, to, you know, rub one against the other until the fire goes up. So again, so far, what we've discussed is hatmana b'davar ha-mosif hevel, that adds heat. Now we get to the second category, and that is something which is eino mosif hevel. The chachamim were worried even about a case of hatmana, let's say towels. Okay, so I don't know, we'll have to discuss towels. We haven't started yet, so I'm just saying by introduction. But let's say we use towels as an example of a davar she'eino mosif hevel. So the Rabbanan are nervous, even in such a case, about hatmana b'davar she'eino mosif hevel. And once again, the Chachamim are afraid that if he does hatmana in a davar she'eino mosif hevel, then he might go ahead and do atmanu b'davar shemosif hevel. And one of the issues that we're going to have to face is what's called gzera l'gzera. I mean, it sounds like atmana in the classic case of the gzeras chachamim is atmanu b'davar hamosif hevel. And now you're telling me that if it's a davar she'eino mosif hevel, then we'll be the rabbanan choshesh that he might come to be matmiz kedera, even in davar mosif hevel. I mean, that sounds like a gzera l'gzera. Fine. So this all has to be taken under advisement. But those are the initial two categories. Now, what I want to present to you here, as an introduction to this perek, is a gigantic machlokes that has to be presented from the beginning. What about a partial hatmana? Meaning, you have a pot, and you don't submerge the entire pot in this hatmana situation. Hatmana means to submerge or surround it. But rather, you do what's called hatmana b'miktas. Is that included under the iser hatmana? And here we start with the shita of Tosis. Tosis is Shita, and many other Chachmei Ashkenaz agree with Tosis, is that even Hatmana B'miktas is included in this Iser. That's the Shita of Tosis. However, many Rishonim disagree, and the Ramah actually seems to paskin Lekula like the second Shita. Ein Iser Hatmana Ela im mechase es hakedera me arba rucho seha. If you surround the pot on all four sides, including the top of the pot, you literally have to submerge it on all sides. You can't see anything of this pot. It's completely covered, even lamala. Now, I'm going to ask you for a favor, if you can, to just write down which Simon in Shulchan Aruch we're going to be dealing with when we speak about the Ramah, and we'll speak about the Aruch HaShulchan, we'll speak about the Mishneh Berurah, and that is Simon Reish Nun Gimel, 253. So who is going to be the volunteer to offer to keep perhaps a Mishneh Berurah open in this experiment, so that we can always sort of refer back to the Ramah and the Mefarshim, if somebody could make a note of it, Simon Reish Nun Gimel, because I'm very bad at remembering numbers, so don't rely on me. Okay. Now, there's a sefer that's written by one of the contemporaries, which is called the Badei HaShulchan. In Yoredeya, he's quite popular. And in Aruch Chaim, he's pretty famous for his work on Bishul, on the laws of, you know, what you're allowed to put on the fire and what kind of fire before Shabbos and so forth and so on. So in the Bari HaShulchan, he writes the following. And again, I'm reading here from the notes of the Masifta on the page. So if you, again, I'm not saying that it's easy to buy things today, but the Yechiel Prince, if he was around, he would be kind enough to send around to us the relevant pages of the Masifta. But I have not heard from him in recent history, so I can't tell you if he's available. If anyone happens to be in touch with him, you know, you could ask him for even if he sends it to me in an email, Bli Neder, as long as you sign up for me, I'll send it around. That's the Masifta. But otherwise, you know, I'll try to the best of my ability to summarize the main points of the Masifta. He says in Meiniach al gabi tas shel mateches hamunach al gabi ha'esh. He says that what we call a blech, if he puts food in a pot on top of this blech, he calls it a tas shel mateches, which covers the blech. And you know, he's sort of like describing the old time blechs that we were familiar with in our youth. You know, we just had a flat piece of a metal substance, and then it would fold over to cover also the channels. He says nechshav lechol adeos. He says that's mutter according to all opinions. The eino nechshav latmana klal. That's not called latmana. Lo nechleku ella imeniach al gabi gecholim. If he places food directly on top of the coals, shachom shebahem umachmas atzmam, which means that the heat is coming from the coals themselves, and now he is at least partially submerging his pot inside the coals. And that's going to be a machlokas between Tosfos and the other Rishonim, which is called Miktas Hatmana. But that's because he's saying that there is a direct contact between the pot and the coals. However, if he separates the coals with this Tas Shel Mateches, and he puts the pot on top of the Tas Shel Mateches, then Kuli Almalopli, everybody agrees, that's not called Hatmana. And that's permissible. So again, if he puts the pot directly on the gecholim, that could be a serious issue. Why? Because that is a kind of hatmana, because some of the kedera is actually submerged in the gecholim. Now, what I think he means is that if, let's say, you would look on the outside of this pot, you would see the gecholim up to a certain level, because the weight of the pot with its food in it is pushing down on the gecholim, such that now the gecholim sort of surround the pot on the outside, and that's miktas hatmana, which we said is prohibited according to the Shita Satosvis. Now, how do we paskin? Do we accept the sheet of Tosfos? Is Miktas Hatmana Osur? So here we have machlokas between the Machaber and the Ramah. The Machaber, at the beginning of Siman Reishnun Gimel, is Machmir like the sheet of Tosfos, and even Miktas Hatmana is prohibited. The Ramah says, Haminag Lahakel, that we could be mekil, because it's only miktas and it's not a complete hatmana. Now again, we have to introduce other elements and other variables into the equation, but that's already the third parak of Kira. Like, for example, was the food cooked before Shabbos. So let's assume it was cooked before Shabbos, at least to a certain level, K'maychel ben Josoi. So we don't have the problem of the third perek. But now we have a problem of Hatmana. Even if, let's say, the food is already cooked, we have another Hatmana issue, which hopefully we'll clarify as we go along. And that would apply, according to the Mechaber, even in Miktas Hatmana. Now he quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, the Minchas Shlomo. Lo nechleku harishonim ele meniach es hakedera al gabi gecholim shenitan lahatmin gam besocham. Aval im meniach al gabi dovashi efshol lahatmin besocho lechol adeos eri nechshav lehatmona. And here he tells you to take a look at the Mishnah Bura there in Sifkat Mem Gimel. So let's say, for example, getting back to the Bari HaShulchan, let's say we have this tas. We have this flat surface of metal that's on top of the Gecholim. There's no way you could do Hatmana in a tas. So that's called the Dovrashi Efshal Hatmin Betocho. And here says the Mincha Shlomo, everybody would agree that this is not a problem of Hatmana. Even if I go with the Mechaber Shita that this Mixas Hatmana is a problem, but that's only in a Dovar Shenitan Lahatmin Betocho. But something like a Tas, which doesn't lend itself to Hatmana, then everybody would agree there's no problem of Hatmana. Again, we may have to solve other problems, but assuming we found solutions to other problems, we don't have to worry about Hatmana. And as I said before, the Ramah says that we could be Mekil, and the Mishnah Brura, again, in the same Simon Reish Gimel, but here it's in Sifkat and Samach Tes, relies on the Ramah and this Minig of Hatmana. But he says that he will rely on the Minig of the Ramah Lekula only if the following conditions are met. Number one, he says, it's got to be a Dover She'eno Mosif Hevel, which we said, we remember, was the secondary Gzera, so that we're talking about something that would not add a heat to it. And then he says, he has to make sure that part of the lid of the pot is removed. Eino Mechasa Sakedera Me'arba Rucho Seho, so that there is some air that enters into the pot. Now again, we're talking about a Dovar She Miktas Hatmona, that only part of it is Hatmona, and the Mishnah Brura is going to allow that if it's Eino Mosif Hevel, whatever substance you're using does not increase the heat and only, let's say, preserves the heat. And number two, there's got to be some airspace coming into the pot. I'm not going to tell you that we know all the details here, but at least we're beginning to get a little bit of our feet wet into what Hatmana might be all about. Now at this point, to complete our introduction before we start the first mission in the Perek, we want to mention the Shita of the Ramban. And the Ramban is really leading the way here for all his Talmidim and his Talmidim, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ran. I mean, they all follow in the footsteps of the Ramban. And the Ramban wants to, in a sense, connect us back to the previous parak and basically set the guidelines here. How is the fourth parak of Hatmana different than the previous parak, which is called the parak of Shehiya? So let's just summarize very quickly. In the previous parak, you're not allowed to leave a pot full of food on an open fire on Erev Shabbos. And now, after establishing in the previous parak the Isur Shehiya on an open fire, then we get to our parak, which is the Isur Hatmana. What exactly is the difference between the two. And the Ramban insists, and this is a bit of a surprise to us, and we'll see if we can understand what he's saying. He's saying that if we assume, in the case of Dover Shemosif Hevel, that he's placing it onto some, or surrounding it, I should say, with something that adds heat to the fire, to the tavshil, then that is equivalent to shehiyah. In other words, the chiddush of our perek is that you don't need actual fire in order to violate the isur shehiyah. Any substance which will serve like fire and can be viewed as a replacement for fire, which means that it adds heat, that's included under the Isur Shehiyah. Now Perek is going to add another category, which is called Hatmana B'Dover She'eino Mosif Hevel. But let's just for a moment limit our discussion to Dover HaMosif Hevel. Well, Dover HaMosif Hevel, says the Ramban, is like an open fire. And we have to be aware of the fact that our perek would therefore be an extension, or shall we say another application, of the previous perek, which is called Shehiyah. And just like we're not allowed to leave a pot on an open fire, so too we're not allowed to cover our pot on all sides with a Dover HaMosif Hevel. So the Chasam Sofer is a little bit bothered by that. And he thinks that, as far as the Metzius is concerned, the reality, Shehiyah, is very different than Atmana. In other words, Shehiyah means leaving something on an open fire. Atmana means submerging it in something that protects the fire, or, as we said before, adds to the heat in Mosif Hevel. So he says the following, and there are a couple of different points here in the Chasam Sofer. We'll try to see if we can plow through all of them. First of all, he makes the point that in a case of Hatmana, the Chiddush is, one second, that the Tavshil is completely surrounded by a Dover Shemosif Hevel. And in that case, it's radically different than a fire which is coming from underneath the Tavshil. However, we're going to have another situation in which he places his pot on top of something, which is Mosif Hevel. He doesn't submerge it into a Dover Mosif Hevel. Again, when we get to Dover She'eino Mosif Hevel, then we'll talk about, is it completely surrounded? Is it open on one side? And so forth and so on. But he's saying, if you're talking about a Dover HaMosif Hevel, then we're going to extend the Isur Atmana even to a case of Meniach Al Dover She'eino Hevel. That is very similar to Eish. That's similar to Shehi Al Gabia Eish. Because just like when you leave a pot on the fire, the flame comes from underneath the pot, so too if you put something on a Dover HaMosif Hevel, that too is a source of heat from underneath the pot. And in the case of a Dover, of Atmana B'toch Dover HaMosif Hevel, there it's even more chamur, because not only do you have the Eish from underneath, again, there's no H, but I mean to say the Dover HaMosif Hevel from underneath, you also have the Dover HaMosif Hevel from on top, and it surrounds the pot. So in that sense, maybe taking the Ramban one step further, we could say that Atmana, in a certain context, is even more chamur, it's even worse than Shehiyah. Because in Shehiyah, we're limited to a case where the fire is underneath. In Atmana, we may include even a case where the fire, again, I'm using that word in quotation marks, surrounds you on all sides, And that's going to have its own category, as we'll go through the dinim, in a case of hatmona betoch dover amosif hevel. But that's not the real point of the Chasam Sofer. He says the following. He says we shouldn't think the Ramban is equating the two. He says for sure there's not one mitzius of shehiya and atmana. They're two different cases, right? And the point here is that in the case of shehiya, what happens is there is a hefsek. What do I mean by a hefsek? Just one second. Yeah. Let's say, for example, you don't put the pot directly on the fire. There's going to be airspace because you have grates that hold on to your pot. And they lift up your pot above the fire in such a way that there's airspace between your pot and the fire. That's the nature of these shehiyah. However, in the case of atmana, by definition, says the Chasam Sofer, your pot is in direct contact with the Dovra Mosif Hevel. There's no airspace in between. So again, in that sense, if I understand correctly, saying that atmana goes beyond shehiyah, that shehiyah without the gzeir of atmana would not apply. Why? Because just one second, maybe it's the other way around. Let me just get this straight. In the case of Shehiya, even though there's a hefsek, in other words, I think what the Chasam Sofer means to say is that Atmana is even more chomer than Shehiya. Because in the case of Atmana, we're talking about a situation. No. It's more kal, meaning in the case of Eish, the Isushi is going to extend to include even a case where there's a hefsek between the Eish and the Tavshil in the pot, the Kedera we'll call it. Mashen came in the case of Hatmana, we're not going to be so machmir, and if Lu Yitzuyu had a hefsek between the Dover HaMosif Hevel and the Tavshil and the Kedera, that would not. That, again, we don't have such a mitzvah, but even if theoretically we had such a mitzvah, that would not qualify as hatmana. Because the chumra of hatmana is based on the fact that there is no hefsek, and that the pot is in direct contact with the Dover HaMosif Hevel. Ela kavanoso, what the Ramban really means is, shakol bichlal gzera achas. That in other words, when the Chachamim enacted their original gzera of Shehiya, they extended it to include Hatmana as well. So whenever you have an Isa Shehiya, you have one gzera, and then if the conditions are met for Hatmana, they are also included under that original gzera of Shehiya. But again, Shehiya obviously is Dovra Mosif Hevel, right? You put a pot on the fire, it's going to get hotter and hotter. And Hatmana, therefore, is also only in a Mosif Hevel situation. Otherwise, Hatmana stands on its own as a separate category. When does the Ramban define Hatmana as the extension and include it in the original Gzera of Shehiya, that's only in a case of a Dover HaMosif Hevel. And now you have a similarity and a common denominator between Hatmana and Shehiya. Now the Chasam Sofer asks the following question. V'ein l'shol im kein b'chol Hatmana nesa gam mitzad Shehiya. If there's one gzera that includes both Shehiya and Hatmana, and therefore every Hatmana should be Asur B'Torah Shehiya, which would probably mean that under certain conditions, for that we have to learn Parakira, but under certain conditions there's no Isur Shehiya, There's no Issa Shehiyah. So we can talk about a Garuf and a Katum, for example. Let's say you leave food in an oven, but the coals have been swept out of the oven. So the oven is burning hot, and there's a continuous heat even after you take the coals out. That would be mutter from the perspective of Shehiyah. However, it might be an Iser Hatmana, because the oven covers the Tavshil and the Kedera on all sides, and it's Mosif Hevel, because the heat is still trapped into the walls of the oven. So therefore, in that case, Asru Chachom Lahashel Salahatmin Bechah. So again, let's go back again. I'm sorry. I gave you the exception rather than the rule. So the Chassam Sofer's rule, meaning the way he's interpreting the Rabban's rule that Hatmana is part of the Gzeira of Shehiyah, is only in a case where the logic of Shehiyah would apply to Hatmana. But at some point, Hatmana stands on its own two feet as an independent Gzeira. And that would be, for example, in a case where something is surrounded by a Dora Mosif Hevel, but there are no coals there. There's no possibility of poking the fire. But it still would be Hatmana. Why? Because we're afraid that tomorrow you might put the Tavshil under the ground, you know, in something that's called a remetz, if you remember, right? That's full of Gecholim. And then apparently the Rabbanan are adding a whole new category of Hatmana. So that again, just to summarize so far we were holding in the Chassam Sofer, he's sort of limiting the statement of, he's embellishing or clarifying what the Ramban had in mind, namely that there's one Gzeira that includes both Shehiyah and Hatmana, but at the same time, he's limiting and he's saying that when the rules of the game that apply to Shehiyah apply to Hatmana, then it's an extension of the same Gzeira, Kula Gzeira Achasi. But in certain cases where the Gzeira of Hatmana goes beyond the Iser Shehiyah, then we have a new category of a Gzeira called Hatmana. Now he asks himself the following kasha. He says that if every Hatmana that's included under the Iser Shehiyah, he says, Im Kain, he says, Shehiyah lelo hatmana nescho rak al gabi ha'esh atzma. So if you leave a pot not surrounded by a Dovra Mosef Hevel, but on top of an esh, that's the Isur Shehiyah. There's no hatmana whatsoever involved here. Then it's got to be on the esh itself. And what's certainly our definition of esh? It's esh ha-mosifa Hevel b'tavshil. He says the following. He says, Ha'esh mosifa hevel b'tavshil gam im ha'avish sholeit ba. Wow. In other words, in the case of Shehiyah, when you put a pot on the fire and it's on the grates, so then there's the entire pot, every single inch of the pot, up, down, around, and underneath the pot, it's all surrounded by airspace. And that's what he calls Ha'avir Sholeit Ba Mi'arba Rucho Seha. Okay, he says, Avo Meniach Al Gabi Dvarim Acherim Hamosifim Hevel Ein Iser Ba'ofen She Megula Me'atzdadim. So again, I think what the Chassam Sofer is again trying to prove to us is that the Ramban does not mean to equate and identify Hatmana with Shehiyah. It could be true that the Ramban is right and it's all one Gzeira, but Hatmana is a new entity, because Shehiyah means that the entire pot from top to bottom is theoretically covered, is surrounded by air. I mean, again, as we discussed before, that there's a little bit of a step level in which the Tavshil is above the Eish. But let's say we take the pot and we put it into a Dovra Mosif Hevel, then by definition that Iser Hatmana will not apply if it's Megula, if the Tavshil is got airspace around it. In other words, Hatmana means the direct contact between the Kedera and the Dovra Mosif Hevel. So again, in that sense, I think the Chasam Sofer is further illustrating that Atmana breaks new ground. It's a real new category. It's not exactly included under the original Gzera of Eish. There's something very different about Atmana. Now, I have here in front of me a paragraph in English from the Art Scroll, and it's also a little bit of an introduction. So I'll just read it to you very quickly. He says, this fourth chapter deals with Hatmana, literally translated as hiding, i.e. insulating hot food by wrapping and surrounding the pot with some material as a way of preserving its heat for Shabbos. The law of Hatmana can be summed up in two short rules. Number one, before Shabbos, one may insulate substances that maintain the food's heat, but not with substances that add heat to the food. So we're now talking about Erev Shabbos. And he says that the Iser Hatmana on Erev Shabbos only applies to a Dovra Mosif Hevel. However, on Shabbos itself, one may not insulate with any substance, even if it doesn't add heat, but simply insulates and preserves the heat. So, for example, one of the issues that I have in my mind is, what's the word for it? Help me out here, Bo. So when you go camping, what's that thing called that you insulate your food in? You know what I'm talking about? You go out on a teal. What's it called?
I don't know.
Anybody know? Like a, you know, it's you put your food in something and it has like an inner foam to it, kind of done up.
Cooler bag.
What's it called?
Like a cooler bag?
Like a cooler bag, but you're right, Sammy. I'm just looking for a different name that from my childhood. Anyway, it's
a thermos.
A thermos. So what would be the status of a thermos? Now, thermos is usually associated, I think, with liquids. But let's say you had a thermos, well, I'll find another word for a thermos, for solids. And it preserves the heat. Am I allowed to put my cholent inside a thermos on Shabbos? I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm just telling you, just by reading the introduction, that's obviously not worth much, but it seems to indicate that would be a problem. It's certainly not a Dovra Mosif Hevel, but if it preserves the heat, now, how long can you preserve the heat inside a thermos? I don't know. And especially in the case of solids, I don't think you could preserve the heat for a very long time. So depends almost from the very... thermos. What?
Depends on the thermos.
But it could be that in certain cases, immediately after you put it in the thermos, it starts decreasing in its temperature, but maybe at a very slow rate, and you're slowing down the cooling off process. So I don't know. And he says the following: why did Chazal institute this gzera? Why did they enact it? He says that insulating on the Shabbos proper was prohibited for the fear that one might come to insulate his pot. Let me read this again. Insulating on the Shabbos itself was prohibited for fear that should one, on coming to insulate his pot, find the food to have cooled off, he may forgetfully come to reheat it. On the other hand, insulated before the Shabbat, he says, with materials that add heat, right, we said it's okay if it's just insulating it for maintaining the heat. was prohibited lest one come to insulate the pot with hot ash mixed with live coal. So that's what we saw before, Shemiyatmin Beremetz. So that's on Erev Shabbos, a Hatmona B'Dovra Mosif Hevel. And all this has to do with the general category called moving around the coals or poking the coals, which will hasten the cooking, and that's called Shema Yechata B'Gecholin. Now, he points out one last thing here in a footnote, that this perek has two parts to it. One is the laws of Hatmona, and the other are the laws of Muktza. And because many of the substances that we use for insulation, some of which are mutter on Erev Shabbos, because it's not Mosif Hevel, but some of those substances fit into the category of Muktza. So this perek is going to be a great Keresh Kvitza, you know, for the subject of Muktza. And actually, that's the part of this perek that I'm excited to learn about. You know, I'm more interested in Muktza than I am in Atmana, but we'll see. Okay then. Now, let's see where we're up to. Just one second. Okay. So we're up to the Mishnah. Okay then. Okay, so we're talking now about a Dover HaMosif Hevel, and the Hatmona is prohibited even on Erev Shabbos. If it's not Mosif Hevel, then it's Mutter LaHatmin on Erev Shabbos. It's only be also on Shabbos itself. Okay. Now, he has a very interesting note here about Bein HaShmoshos. The last sugya in Bamei Madlikin in the previous perek addresses. I'm sorry, not in the last perek, but I meant to say two prokim before this, right? That's Bamei Madlikin deals with the issue of Bein HaShmoshos and which gzeros apply during Bein HaShmoshos, which is called Safek Hashecha, and which do not. And this gzera called Hatmana does not apply during Bein HaShmoshos. And he quotes the Pnei Yoshua that Masha Hutar Lahatmin B'Erev Shabbos Hugak B'Dover She'ena Mosif Hevel. And he claims that this heter of Hatmana during Bein HaShmoshos only applies to Dover She'ena Mosif Hevel. Now that's really fascinating, because on Shabbos itself we said there's an Iser of Hatmona even but a Dover She'ena Mosif Hevel, but that's only Misha Hashecha, and it's already Vaday Laila. But if it's just the beginning of Misha Hashecha, which is called Bein HaShmoshos, then according to the sugi at the end of Bamei Madlikin, Hatmona is Mutter. But says the Pnei Yoshua, that's only in a case of Hatmona B'Dover She'ena Mosif Hevel. Hatmana b'dovah she'mosif hevel is prohibited even during Bein HaShmoshos. And from this I derive two very interesting conclusions. Number one, that these two gzeros of Hatmana, one on Erev Shabbos and one on Shabbos, are fundamentally different one from the other. I'm tempted to think that the Isra Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is an Isra Bishul. Obviously only Midrabbanan, but the Rabbanan upgraded it to the status of Bishul to such an extent that Iser has to apply to Bein HaShmoshos, because Bein HaShmoshos has this ambiguous status. However, the Iser of Hatmana on Shabbos itself, which is in a Dover She'eno Mosif Hevel, that already is not that's not really a Bishul Halacha. That's our Chaka. We'll call it a Gzera unto itself. And then something which is archaka, we don't prohibit it on Bein HaShmoshos. And the second point that I want to get from this Pnei Yoshua is that you see that Bein HaShmoshos has a status unto itself. We're not going to view it as a suffix. If we viewed it as a suffix, then even in the Gzera of Hatmon of Erev Shabbos, with a Dover Shemosev level, we could say suffix to Rabbanu Lekula. But the answer is, we're not going to apply suffix to Rabbanu Lekula in Bein HaShmoshos, because Bein HaShmoshos is not a suffix. It's got two elements to it, we'll call it. It's both Yom and Lila. Alright. Bame tomnim ubame ein tomnim. So we're talking about the Iser Atmana and it's Erev Shabbos. Now, we said that on Erev Shabbos, Hatmon is Asur Nedavar Shemosif Heva. Correct? On Shabbos, it's also even if it's Eino Mosif Heva. So let's assume that our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. So let's say on Erev Shabbos, he's got a pot that's cooking on the fire. He wants to maintain the heat of the fire. He's not allowed to leave it on an open flame. Does he have another option? And that's Hatmana. Well, what kind of Hatmana are you doing? You want to increase the heat or you want to just preserve the heat? If you want to increase the heat and you take the pot off your fire before nightfall and you wrap it up in something that's increasing the heat, you will be violating the Iser of Ein Lahatmin B'Dover Shemosif Heva. You're only allowed to do Atmana in something that preserves the heat. So now the Mishnah wants to know, B'Met Tomnim, which is considered a Atmana that preserves the heat, and B'Met Ein Tomnim, which is considered Atmana that's Mosif Heva. And the Mishnah answers, Ein Tomnim Lo B'Gefes. So let's talk about Gefes. Gefes is pulp, P-U-L-P, which means it's the refuse that they collect in the Beis Abad. Beis Abad is the place where they took the olives and they crushed them in order to remove the oil. And after they extracted the oil, what was left in the Beis Abad was something called Gefes. This is, so to speak, the refuse of those little pieces of pulp from the fruit, from in this case the olives, after we already extracted all the oil, and they used to grab it all together, and it had an unbelievable ability. This sounds magical. If you were to place a hot pot inside this gefes, then it's hot and the heat increases. I mean, that's pretty wild. I don't know the physics of it. Let's see if he by chance adds any physics. Now, he just says the heat is intense. Okay. Let me just see. Maybe he has a footnote here. Just 1 second. No, he doesn't really get into it. Okay. So that's the exclusion of Gefes. So again, we're classifying Gefes as a Dorish and Mosif Hevel. Then he has Velo Biz Zevel. Zevel is manure. Let's see how he translates it. Yeah, that's how he translates it. Wow. It's Mosif Hevel. Velo B'Melach. Not with salt. Lo b'sid. Sid is plaster. Lo b'chol. Or sand. Bein lachin ubein yaveshim. No matter whether these substances are wet or they are dry. He says in the footnote that which is damp tends to increase the heat greatly. But even when dry, we don't permit it, because they do tend to generate some heat. Let me just read to you the note here in the Masifta. He says the following. He says, Psoleh shel zeisim, that's called gefes. And what about Psoleh shel shumshimin? In the previous perek, it seems that even the psoles of sesame, when you remove the oil from sesame, is also called gefes. He says, but it's not clear, and the Gemara is going to vacillate about this later on, what's the status of the pulp of, or the refuse of this shumshimin, of these sesames. What's their status? I mean, they certainly have the status of gvava, of gefes, as far as dinim of shehiyah is concerned, but we're not sure as far as hatmon. Then the last case on this list is chol. He says, yesh chiluk bein chol l'shar hadvarim. Sand is different than everything else on this list. Sheteva chol, she'eno mosif heva. He says, chol in and of itself has no natural heat to it. Ela im matminim bo dover cham, but nevertheless, if you place the pot inside, a hot pot inside the sand, then it generates heat. It's mosif heva. Avol matminim bo dover kar. If let's say you had something cold or lukewarm and you put it inside the sand, ain't mosif heva. It would not heat up the lukewarm substance. El adarav mitzanin yosef. Sand has a tendency of cooling things off. So it's really interesting that in the case of sand, everything depends upon what you put inside the sand. If you put inside the sand something that is hot, then it's mosif heva.
Doesn't it also depend on whether the sand itself is hot?
I think he's assuming that sand is different than everything else on the list, and it's irrelevant whether it's hot or not. All that's relevant to sand that makes it into a mosif heva, even if it's not hot, is the fact that you submerge a hot pot inside the sand. All the other substances have their own natural heat as a result of whatever process took place. All right. Now we go on to the next category. He says, V'lo b'tevin. So it seems that hatmana in the case of tevin is prohibited. Lo b'tevin. And again, there can be a whole long list that we'll go through. But that's only bizman shem lachin. So the second part of this Mishnah is going to list something that could be mosif hevel, but only if it is damp, not if it's dry. So all the substances until now, so we had gefes, hevel, melach, 3, 4, 5 different substances. What's common to them is that if they're hot, or in the case of the last case, even if it's not hot, but you're putting hot, is that's called mosif hevel, even if it's dry. Any of the five listed in the first part of the Mishnah. But now we're going to have a whole list of that which is in and of itself, it's eino mosif hevel. But if it's wet, then it's mosif hevel. And the first on the list is tevin. Tevin, he identifies here as ha'osui min kash. I guess you take the straw, and chotchin es ha'zanav ha'shibolim, Rashi says, doc, you cut off the tail of the kernel, right? The kernel has a certain piece that comes out, and you make kash out of it. And this is relevant to Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? And he says the following, that according to Tosus, kash and tevin are actually two different things. Tevin is something that's niktzar imashibolim. So when you actually harvest the kernels of wheat, then you will harvest the teven width. So the teven, I guess, is like the covering over the wheat, like a chaff, what we call. That's called teven. And kash, kash is mashe nishar besoda. You know, it's after you harvest the kernels, you're left with something in the field, and that is called kash. So you start with teven, and then you end with kash. So again, kash is not harvested with the kernel, it's left in the ground. That's according to Tosfos. And Rashi holds that kash is niktzar im ha-shibolim. It's also harvested together with the shibolim. Okay, what's after kash? Oh, okay, so we're going to go on with the rest of the list. That's teven. Oh, what time is it now? All right, let's take a break now.